You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Tonight, he will arrive. Juan Soto will return. And I'm not just talking about return to Yankee Stadium. I'm talking about Juan Soto. The real Juan Soto will return. We've been waiting as Mets fans to see an explosion from Juan Soto. He has been okay so far. There's been some good. There's been some bad. There's been some up and down. Whatever. Even Soto's bad is better than most. Still waiting for that explosion. And I fully believe it starts tonight when he returns to take on his former team in the Bronx.
I don't even know he's going to go up for four. Oh, my God. Hey, listen, as I said yesterday, if he has a good weekend, he'll get himself up to Trent Grisham speed.
So
Listen, I look at this, and it's going to be fun, and it's going to be a wild day. We'll get to the Knicks stuff, obviously. But I look at the Soto stuff from a Mets perspective. Like, if I'm a Mets fan, there's the initial announcement, wow, he chose the Mets. Boom. Then there's the press conference, the first visual. Wow, look at that guy up there at Citi Field. Then there's the first time he strolls out on the field at Port St. Lucie in a Mets uniform. Then there's opening day. These are all the checkpoints you've gotten to. Then there's the home opener. But tonight's different. I admit, tonight's different. Tonight's much more different for you. Like, I got my Yankee shirt on. I want to win 2 out of 3. Would love to sweep you guys. Hopefully Judge stays hot. Hopefully Yankees keep playing, you know, good, crisp baseball, winners of 3 straight series. And yeah, I'm hoping that Juan Soto takes the collar a couple of times, maybe butchers a ball in right field. But my attention, and again, I am excited for this. You know I'm about the Knicks. Tonight's more for the Met fan, for me, than the Yankee fan.
See, it's interesting you say that because I think that it's more for the Yankee fan in the aspect of their villain is coming in. When have we experienced this before? Robinson Cano, I'm sorry, it didn't register. And at that price, Yankee fans were okay with letting Robinson Cano go. They were not okay. The majority of Yankee fans not okay with letting Juan Soto go, especially to the Mets. This guy, for basically all things being equal, who took the Yankees to the World Series a year ago, chose the Mets. The little brother lowly New York Mets over the big bad New York Yankees and the pinstripes and all this stuff. How many calls did we take over the course of the year last year where Yankee fans are saying, you're nuts. How are you saying, Sal, that he's going to the Mets? BT's never going to leave us. We're the Yankees, blah, 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 blah. And here we are. He did leave, and now he's returning. So I think it's twofold. It's for the Yankee fan just to let Juan Soto know that they didn't appreciate what he did. And then from the Mets' perspective, to finally feel like you belong! Finally! Because they have had good seasons before. They've had very good seasons before. They've gone toe-to-toe with the Yankees, whether it be Subway Series. I mean, they swept the Yankees in the Subway Series last year, so it's not just about the regular season. We've seen sweeps before, even when the Yankees were dominant, whatever. We saw the World Series 25 years ago. This is different. This is the first time I can say, and I was at the first one ever, the Dave Mielicki game in 1997, hard to believe, almost 30 years ago, right? 28 years ago. This is the first time I could say that I feel like it's equal footing, and it's because of Juan Soto.
No, that part I totally get. You know, that's where it becomes more real. That's where it becomes different. And listen, you've said it. I think all Met fans have said it. The goal is sustained success like the Yankees usually enjoy, not the one-off or, you know, maybe every couple of years you have a chance to be good. The goal is to put out a product every year that you got a big payroll, you got some stars, and you really have a chance to win the World Series. And that's the direction that you guys are going in. But two things about this. Like, again, and I turned down the seats. We talked about that a lot. If I'm in the stands tonight, like, basically, it'll probably be about 10, 12,000 Met fans and then the rest Yankee fans, obviously. So if I'm among the 35-ish thousand Yankee fans, I'm viewing that this is how myself, and I do think some people will disagree, this is how I would view it. Number one, he's not a villain to me. Pedro's a villain.
Yep.
Reggie Miller's a villain. You know, give me some hockey villains that maybe I'm just forgetting. What was the guy who delivered the cheap shot? Dale Hunter?
Yeah,
Dale Hunter.
Pierre Turgeon years ago.
Pierre Turgeon. Like, those are villainous people in the New York sporting universe, right? To me, I don't view Juan Soto that way. Now, others might because he left the Yankees and they maybe take that and they channel that as energy as looking at him as a villain.
I'm a little hurt by that.
I'm not saying it didn't bother me. I want him to stay. You know that. I'm over it now, but I want him to stay.
But you've even admitted to not wanting to see him do well.
I don't want to see him do well. Right. I want to see him take the collar every night. Absolutely. But I don't look at him as a villain. I look at him as a gift that was given to the Yankees for a year. He was traded there. He didn't willingly go there. He was traded there. He performed at an incredibly high level, got him to the World Series, was the best hitter by far during the postseason, not during the regular season, but he had his best year really as a pro. Had 40 bombs, tied for 109 ribbies. Like, he did what he did, and we saw it. And I appreciate that. Then he made a big boy decision and left. I don't begrudge him for that. So that's number one. He's not a villain to me. Number two, Yankees are doing well without him. Now, I understand that the Yankees aren't perfect. And I understand that, like, Juan Soto's presence makes them more dangerous if he was still here. But the Yankees are 3.5 games up. Like, if the Yankees were 4 back of the Red Sox or the Orioles and they're 3-4 games under 500, then I consider and I say, wow. Then maybe I emotionally process it a different way. Good guy, hell of a player, not a villain. Yankees are doing well. I'm good.
But he left you for the Mets.
I got you. I understand, but I'm fine with that. It really doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
I know it bothers some. It doesn't bother me. And I'm not trying to get it to bother you. I'm not trying to needle you. But people are bothered by that. We've heard from a lot of them calling this radio station. We've seen a lot of it on social media. Yankee fans are hurt and bothered. And I understand it. I would be too, that Juan Soto chose the Mets over them. And regardless of the results of the series, the Mets already won that. You've mentioned it in the offseason. You said, hey, got to take the L.
Mets won, Yanks nothing. They won the sweepstakes.
And that's it. And there's no way to erase that.
No.
So regardless of what happens, once Juan Soto sets foot in Yankee Stadium tonight, he's going to be wearing a Mets uniform. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's going to hurt the Yankee fan even more. They are going to boo him. I would be shocked if Juan Soto gets any kind of balance. It's going to sound some cheers because of the Mets.
Because of the Mets,
But I would be shocked. Like, I don't think there's anybody going to be like, you know what? We forgive you, Juan, for leaving. You got us to the World Series a year ago.
We respect
what you did, and we respect your decision. I think it's going to be the opposite.
Well, if he came in as a Texas Ranger, you might get that. Because he's coming in as a Met, you won't get that. Now, I do, despite what I'm saying, I think it's going to be venomous tonight. I think Yankee fans are going to go bonkers. Ooh. Now, the whatever 11-ish, 12,000 Met fans, as I estimate, they will try to balance that out. Some, if he hits a home run, you'll hear cheers. If he pops up with the bases juiced, you know, you will hear a different reaction from the Yankee fan. Now, I can tell you one thing that's not going to happen. What Tiki has been espousing for the last 6 months. You've heard what Tiki said.
No.
Tiki has been imploring Yankee fans to do nothing. He actually said, like, and I think he means it. Hey, Tiki, there's no chance in hell that's happening. He wants the Yankee fans to basically turn their backs and not utter a peep. So, and I know what he means, like, That would almost be maybe psychologically more damaging.
Like, or we don't care.
We're unaffected by you. But that's not going to happen under any circumstance.
You said something that I find interesting, and I think I disagree with it. If Soto left under the same circumstances but went to Texas or whatever.
Yeah, or Seattle, whatever, I'd like to know.
But I still think it would have hurt. But obviously, this is to another extreme, which is why we're, this is why it's great for us, sports talk and Subway Series, Mets, Yankees. You could not have a worse scenario for a Yankee fan that wanted Juan Soto back, that not only wanted Juan Soto back, expected Juan Soto to want to be a great Yankee and be in Monument Park and wear the pinstripes forever. That was the belief. You believed Juan Soto loved being a Yankee just as much as you love the Yankees. And he didn't. And not only that, he chose the Mets. If he chose another team, I still think that Yankee fans would be annoyed enough to not cheer or appreciate Juan Soto. I think just the Mets, obviously, is a whole nother villainous level to it.
Yeah, I don't think it would be venomous, though. I think you would get much more balance. And again, there's no way of knowing. You know, I think that, like, Soto to me, and again, I think I'm processing it differently than some.
Probably than most Yankee fans, honestly.
I will accept that. I think I agree with that. No, I think that you're right. I think Yankee fans woke up today, and if you're a Yankee Knicks fan, you're obviously conflicted. If you're not a big basketball fan, or if you're a Yankee Net fan, you woke up, I think you foamed at the mouth. Like, the jerseys hung up, whatever you rock, Mariano, Jeets, O'Neal, Reggie, whatever, Donnie, you woke up, and this day has been circled, and it is your mission to make him feel miserable. I think the only problem with that is, I think he's so robotic, I think it will not penetrate his mind one bit.
Okay.
I don't think he cares.
So now I want to get to what I feel from the Mets' perspective. Because it's not about the boos or the cheers, it's about unlocking the real Juan Soto. And I mentioned this weeks ago, and you start to see Soto get a little bit warm.
He's been great in May.
Yeah, but still not. I mean, every time in runners scoring position, he's failed. The home runs have been great, but they're solo home runs. He haven't seen the Soto shuffle yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think that comes tonight. This is what I'm excited for. I believe that Juan Soto thrives in these environments. That's why I love him as a baseball player. What made me fall in love with Juan Soto is there's no moment big enough. The more difficult the task, the bigger, the nastier the environment, the more he responds. And I feel like finally, you know, we thought maybe the Phillies series, all right, didn't work out that way. All right, maybe the Cubs, whatever. All right, didn't really work out that way. This is finally the spot where I believe, because this is the closest thing you get to the postseason in the regular season, Mets versus Yankees, in that environment and that nasty feel.
Mm-hmm.
I believe him going back there, where the fans loved him, where he did so much great work for the New York Yankees a year ago, I believe him in that stadium getting that type of reception is going to unlock him and take off to the next level, that once the series is over, at least the real Juan Soto will be back.
And oh yeah, by the way, to me, this kind of feels like when both the Yanks or the Mets seasons, independent of the Soto juice, kind of starts. Like, I know they both played, 40-ish games, whatever it might be, 3.5 game lead for the Yankees, 2.5 up on the Mets, or the Mets are. The Braves have gotten their footing a little bit. Obviously, the Mets have handled the Phillies so far, or the Braves have gotten their footing. The Phillies have the Mets have handled the Phillies so far. I just think that now it's the backdrop of Soto, but it's baseball is beginning to feel real. Listen, it kind of gets like this
Memorial Day.
Every Memorial Day anyway. Yeah. This is the little foreshadow of what very, very well could be a fun, highly competitive, and who knows, maybe we get that another Subway Series act. But I think Met fans are jacked up. I know Yankee fans are ready to protect the turf. It's going to be nuts.
Before we get to the calls, do you think Soto gets unlocked, whatever term you want to use? Do you think the real Juan Soto shows up? Do you think he will have a monster series or continue in line of what's gone on this year? Like, every time we've expected him to go nuts, he's kind of hasn't lived up to the expectation.
I don't think he'll necessarily have a monster series. I would be surprised if he doesn't have a moment where the Met fans, like, he's suck on that, Yankee fans. I don't know how else to say it. Even if it's a solo shot.
We haven't had, Met fans haven't had the Soto moment. Everybody talks about the Yankees when they get a new player. Now he's a Yankee, earned the pinstripes. We need that Met moment. And what better time to come than this weekend. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get to the Knicks coming up in a little bit. Obviously, an enormous game tonight. This is really one of the great days in New York sports history. When you talk about a game six here with the Knicks tonight, you get Subway Series going on. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Luigi is in White Plains. What's up, Luigi?
Good morning, boys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
I'm one of those diehard Yankee fans, and the only reason I'm going to the game tonight is to go watch Juan Soto go 0-for-4. I'll be booing as hard and as loud as I can. I'm going to lose my voice tonight.
Yeah, me too. And it's going to be the opposite of that, Luigi, because I'm going to be screaming when Soto runs roughshod over the Yankees.
Oh, man.
Have fun. I'm sorry, Luigi. Have fun in the game tonight. It's going to be fun, BT.
It is.
God,
it
I'm
is.
Just so annoyed.
I'm
annoyed with the Knicks. Like, I think it's compromising us all to a certain extent. Now, you could choose to go home like you did and watch the Knicks game on DVR or watch the Knicks game in real time and then DVR the Met Yankee game. But still, then you're missing the live action. Either way, it's a great historic sports night. It is going to be difficult, and a lot of people are going to be attending. There's going to be 50,000 people at Yankee Stadium.
Oh yeah,
tonight.
I mean,
all Knicks fans. For
sure. But yeah, and when they flash that score up, oh god, we'll get to the Knicks later. They better play well tonight. They better win tonight. It's going to be an atmosphere that is going to be at the top of the list in terms of juice in the last. You know, I mean, I don't want to be overly prisoner of the moment, but. It's a big night. There's no doubt it's going to be a big night in the Bronx.
I'm very curious to see the reaction of the callers. If it's more from a Yankees perspective, can't wait to hate on Soto, or more from the Mets fans, can't wait to have the excitement and unleash Juan
Soto. What do you
think
it is, real quick?
I think it's probably more Yankees, or at least we'll hear from more of the Yankees.
Okay, but don't you think tonight means more? Or I guess you don't, because I think tonight means more to the Met fan, because it's the symbolic finishing the actual moment that's led up, like all the checkpoints I ran through.
The part that I think it means more for the Met fan is that here we are.
We've now arrived.
Here he is. He's ours. Here we are.
He's wearing our uniform in your house.
To use your term, suck on that. Regardless of the result, which, by the way, we'll get to when we come back. Like, there's different layers that we want to get to. Joe is in Lakewood. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
Great. I'm just... For two people who claim to have a pulse on the city, how in the world do you open what the Yankees are not the Knicks?
We chose to,
you chose to open with Pete Rose also on Wednesday.
Well, I mean, Joe, listen. Joe, come on. We're giving you a chance to talk here, Joe. Come on, buddy.
And you guys have a full segment on Juan Soto every day for 2 years already.
Right, Joe,
I don't want to hear you anymore.
And Joe, we don't want to hear from you, and thank you for the call.
Thank you, Joe.
We appreciate taking the time to call, but you wasted everybody's time by then. Joe, I got news for you. Nobody cares what you think as far as what we should be discussing. And if you don't like it, you don't have to listen or call about it. We don't want that. Obviously, I'd love for you to listen all the time. And we appreciate you listening and taking the time to call, but you don't need to tell us what to talk about. Mike is calling from West Long Branch, New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Yo.
About Juan Soto, I mean, I'm a Met fan. I love him on the team. I understand why the Yankees are upset, but this is going to be a horrible contract. I mean, if the Yankees signed him, they wouldn't have got the pitcher from Atlanta who's dominant. I mean, it just frees up and gives you more flexibility for your team. I mean, I know it's like a symbol, like, oh, we stole him from the Yankees, but I care about winning. And if it wasn't for Pete Alonso, where would we be right now?
Listen,
Pete's going to have a month. I understand what you're saying there, Mike. Pete's going to have a month, and I think Pete's going to be top three MVP. I've said that from day one. But Pete's going to have a month where he hits 230, and Juan Soto's going to have a month where he hits 350, 360. And that very well might be the month and what separates you from either the Phillies or the Braves. So, to me, the evaluation is not about now. I use the word albatross. We all know it because it happens to every great player. And I don't think he's going to age particularly great because he's not bouncy now and he's a little thick now and he's in his mid-20s. So he's going to be a problem in the outfield. It's going to get worse on the bases. But you did it because he makes you potentially great now. But who could absorb it? Cohen could.
Yeah.
And by the time we get into the part of his contract that's probably less desirable, Lindor's retired, and obviously Nimmo's contract is up and Pete's long gone, you would imagine. Like, the Mets have a lot of young players. It's not like they've got five or six contracts like the Yankees have had over the years that have been getting in the way of them doing some stuff. It's the cost of business to get Soto.
Twofold. Do you think that Juan Soto's contract will prevent Steve Cohen from going out there and spending the money that's necessary to build a championship?
No, I don't think that.
So me
I know you don't think that either. Nobody course, I don't think course, any sensible baseball
of
fan
course
does.
Not. Number two, oh, well, if not for Pete Alonso, do you think that Pete Alonso is just miraculously having this year? Or maybe Juan Soto, just maybe, call me crazy, maybe Juan Soto hitting in front of him has something to do with Pete Alonso performing at a level that we've never seen him perform at before.
You know, that's fair. There's baseball elements there. Usually the guy in front of you benefits more. You get better pitches to hit because you don't want to walk that guy and have Judge or Soto hit a two-run bomb. But no, I mean, he's on base, even though it's not his usual 40% clip, whatever it might be. But he's on base a lot more, which means the pitcher has to work more, exert more, and Lindor's hitting 300. So by the time you get to Pete, you got to navigate Lindor and Soto. You're a little tired here. So there's no doubt that he's going to benefit from that. Yeah.
How many years have we heard about, Pete, when he's struggling? Oh, well, the protection. Got to get Pete some protection. Well, who's the protection from right now?
Yeah, nobody.
Okay, they've been awful. Nimmo, maybe not awful. Nimmo hasn't been very good, and Vientos hasn't been himself what we expect him to see. So where's the protection for Pete Alonso? It's not there, but yet Pete's having his best year that we've ever seen. And he's had some monsters. This is the best year ever. So, I mean, do the math. It has to be because of Juan Soto in front of him. Could be Lindor as well being hot, but those guys aren't in front of him. But Soto being atop that lineup, challenges other pitchers. Just him working the at bats.
No question.
Pete Alonso has been more.
Pete Soto, there's not another Soto I got to deal with this year.
Pete Alonso has been disciplined at the plate like Juan Soto, which has led to his success.
Listen, I think one thing that I'm happy about, and we've obviously been very, I guess maybe to the chagrin of people who want to program the station. But
I mean, my God. That's all good. That's what we're starting with. That.
Yeah, that's all good. We've been very Knicks-centric, obviously, because the Knicks are in the middle of something, trying to do something they haven't done in 25 years. But I'm actually proud of the fact that we haven't really, not that it's never been brought up, but we have not propped up Pete's big season so far by saying it's all Juan Soto, because I think that's unfair to Pete Alonso.
Me too. It's
unfair. Now, has it had some impact? Yeah. Can I quantify it? No. But you watch Pete Alonso play, and maybe this goes back to Devin Williams hitting the home run to right field. He has changed his approach. Not just that he's getting maybe some better pitchers or the guys are tired that he's facing because of the Lindor Soto navigation. Mm-hmm. He is going more to right field. He's shortened up his swing. He is striking out less. He is walking more. So it's a little bit of Soto. It's a lot about Pete.
BT and Sal on the Fan just getting started on this historic sports talk in New York Friday. We will get to the Knicks coming up in a little bit. Huge game 6 tonight at the world's most famous. Chance to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 25 years.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You know, over the weekend, BT, we mentioned the Yankees a little bit before. We didn't mention the Mets. My biggest takeaway from this weekend was the emergence of Brett Beatty. Even though that was the one game that they lost, Mets take 2 out of 3 against the Cubs. Any silly narrative about the quality of opponent, I mean, that should go by the wayside here. You could beat who you could play. The Mets swept the Phillies. They now took 2 out of 3 from the Red Hot Cubs. So I'm not worried about the caliber of opponent. The Mets aren't good enough. But Beatty with the 2 big home runs Saturday, the emergence of Beatty is perfect. After being sent down again, coming back up, and now taking advantage of what might be his final opportunity, Winker out, DH spot available to move Vientos at DH, play Beatty at third, who I think is better defensively than Vientos. I really do think that Beatty can be an impact bat difference maker, similar, maybe not to the extent of Vientos, but similar to what Vientos did a year ago.
Beatty was a guy a couple years ago, young player, young prospect who I loved. And then he just, you know, got a couple chances and it didn't work out. And I'm like, all right, I mean, how often am I going to go to the well defending this young player as somebody that I think is going to be a plus hitter at this level, while acknowledging probably not an elite third baseman, though I'm with you, better than Vientos. You know, if he was taking reps at second base at the major league level, he can at least be slightly more than adequate at third base. I think he's fine. But I think what we've learned about Brett Beatty here, Sal, is that he's very resilient. And, you know, kind of like Vientos a year ago, wouldn't it be odd if Vientos, I don't want this to necessarily happen, but like if Vientos has a year that is less than we thought, and the player that we wrote off, much like a lot of people wrote off Vientos last year, this year's version of Vientos becomes Brett Beatty. Because, you know, when you get sent down, you have two options. You either sulk or you mash and you force your way back. And he mashes. He always does that in Syracuse. Now he's come back. It's actually carrying over here. It's great to see.
I love guys that go through adversity and come out the other end of it. It's why I wasn't quick to bury Beatty, where a lot of people, first of all, the Mets were winning, and it wasn't a significant thing with Beatty. I just wanted to see him get his run. But because of what Vientos did last year, and I didn't think there was any chance he would be that type of player, based on everything that they told us, based on the limited spots that we saw him in. But once I doubted Vientos and he came back to do what he did a year ago, I was not going to do it again with Brett Beatty, even though I didn't believe he was going to be an impactful player. Now, and again, the jury is still out, but to see him now start to turn the corner a little bit after handling more adversity, to your point, going back down, coming back up, I don't think he goes back down again. Now, does that mean that he's going to stick with the Mets forever? Who knows? I mean, maybe there's a trade that make the pieces fit better. I don't know. But there's a need with the Mets, with Winker being out and Beatty being at third base and Vientos at DH makes them a better lineup. So I'd love to see this from Beatty. I love the fact that he's been impactful here, and he seems to have a different type of confidence here this go-round. Maybe finally it will. Now, Vientos is starting to hit the ball better, too, and look a little bit like last year. But if you ever could get them both in that lineup, Beatty at the bottom of the order, lefty bat like that, with that pop, I think the Mets are an extremely dangerous. Yeah, exactly.
Nice balance. He's definitely mentally tougher than I think all of us thought. I mean, it's very easy to look at him when he first came up and say, wow, look at that beautiful lefty swing. Who did he hit? I remember referencing this, but Hoff, you might remember from the Rico stuff, I remember, and it wasn't even on a home run. It was like, might have been his first series. He hit a ground ball to shortstop off a lefty. And was it Freed? Strider? Whatever. 109 miles an hour. And I'm like, ooh. And I just remember saying, like, wow, a young lefty hanging in there against a lefty. It just jumped to me. And I'm like, I like this kid. And then I followed him, and I knew he was a top prospect. And it didn't necessarily translate. The one thing that he's got to improve, and if he doesn't, he's never going to be really good. He's got to command the strike zone better. Like, he's walked only 3 times this year. He struck out 21 or 22. Like, it's just completely, you know, top heavy with a lot of strikeouts and not nearly enough walks. Now, I don't really care if he strikes out a lot, and I don't need him to be a walk machine like Soto or some others, but what that tells me is that he's falling behind early to major league level, and he can't command the count in his favor, which all good hitters do, because when he makes contact on a pitch that he can hit, he can square it up.
Yeah, and he's hitting the ball hard. He's got some pop, which is what you love to see from Brett Beatty. All right, back to the Knicks, 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. Dan is on Long Island. What's up, Dan?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
What's up, Dan?
I just want to touch on the Knicks. Something that drives me nuts is when Cat or somebody goes up for a layup and, you know, it's a questionable call. He doesn't get the call. The guy sits on his behind, like, with his hands in the air, screaming at the refs. And they're giving the Celtics 5-on-4s, like, time after time after time. Again, it goes to what you guys are saying. You have to understand this isn't like a Tuesday in December. This is the playoffs. You got to get back on defense, especially against the Celtics.
You do.
I'm just curious if you guys notice that or what you think.
Yeah, I think that that's applicable here. Listen, I don't think the Knicks attacked the rim with the aggression that's required to dethrone defending champions. You got to earn the whistle, man. And one of the things that's bothered me about Karl-Anthony Towns, but not just him, you know, even Brunson, and he has to do this because of his body type and his lack of athleticism, like he's more finesse and, you know, spins and angles. We talk about that all the time. I feel like Karl-Anthony Towns goes to the rim and he's anticipating getting hit. I'm not saying that they haven't missed a few calls on him. They have. But I don't feel like he's looking to hurt somebody. I don't see intention. Like when Karl-Anthony Towns really does take it to the rim, I'm just not seeing the intention that I'm seeing from other aggressive players in the NBA. And that bothers me. And the refs know it. His opponents know it. And everybody knows it, which is why he's got this quote-unquote soft-ish label that's kind of followed him for almost a decade at this point, because it's like he double palms. He thinks he's a small forward. Just try to rip the rim off the backboard.
I would rather have a more polished offensive game. Now, he's an elite offensive big, especially in today's NBA, but I'd rather have a more polished offensive game as opposed to me, it seems like too many times he's out of control looking for the whistle instead of drawing the foul. Make your move, be a bigger, tougher opponent. They are going to foul you. Not just come up there and flail and throw, like, you, and then complain. Because to the caller's point, and now you know me, I love Cat, but, I mean, come on, the bitching to the refs is incessant. Stop. You're on the floor always, oh, my God, oh, I got fouled. Whether you did or didn't, it's being called a certain way. And I feel like the Knicks, and Cat specifically here, but the Knicks sometimes too, are just looking for the whistle as opposed to making their offensive moves and letting the whistle come. And that's preventing them maybe from getting back down. They're complaining about it. It's not a clean offensive performance from the Knicks.
But that's been an issue of mine for a while with the Knicks.
Yeah,
and I really think he's good, of course. And you know, I respect it. But I think they take that cue, though, from Tom Thibodeau. I mean, Tom's always chirping, always whining.
Let him do it, though. That's what the coach should do.
Yeah, true. But I think that they see it so often that in their minds, it's a license for them to do the same thing. Just incessantly whining. We love Josh Hart, but he does it all the time. Towns does it. Brunson does it. Brunson hitting the deck. And we love these guys, but they just play more finesse. And I know that the game's changed. Clearly, we're not going back to the 90s. Nobody's looking to here. But the thing that is obvious to me, doesn't mean he can't thrive. And it doesn't mean he's not highly skilled. Karl-Anthony Towns is uncomfortable with contact. And all you have to do is watch him one time try to set up in the post. And by a smaller man, immediately, 7-8 feet later, he's by the 3-point line. Like, you're 285. Act like it, dude. Just stick your ass in somebody's chest and bury him. I mean, you don't have, who are some of the, like, the big thick bigs back in the day? Like
Oliver Miller.
Yeah, that's a good pull right there. You know, but even like Smiths, who was tall, and those right. Big centers. Like, I get it. It's easier said than done. But you got Jason Tatum sometimes. You got Al Horford, you know, who's obviously a respected vet. But you are so much bigger and stronger. But they flourish with contact, and he tries to avoid it. And that's when it shows itself up.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds!
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What temperature is it out today and what's going to be later? Look at your phone. She like, gives me all the directions. Like, I wouldn't know how to do it. Look at your phone and tell me what the temperature is. She's trying to get Sammy dressed. But
it's 93
reason,
degrees and sunny out, honey.
In my mind, I'm like, it's Thursday. And then I was like, oh, shoot, it's only Wednesday. But either way, big game tonight. Big sports day today, BT.
There's a lot going on. We'll get back to the Pete Rose stuff. Obviously, big Nick day as well. 888-808-1019. I've got something about your Mets that I think you'll like.
Yeah.
That was just repurposed and brought back to me as a little bit of a receipt from one of my buddies. Okay.
Okay.
And I do remember this, maybe vaguely, because it was around the fire pit. And, you know, I like to have a little fun around the fire pit.
Okay, so you and your buddies hanging out at the fire pit.
This particular night was just one of my buddies, Mike, in town, fellow coach, great guy, right? Massive Mets fan. Absolutely massive. And he writes, remember our convo by the fire pit about the depth of the Mets staff? Mm. And I wrote, no, I do not recall. Right? Check this out, though. So he sends me a picture, and it's the five Mets starters, and here's what it says, a little montage of their faces. The Mets now have five different players this season with a sub-3.15 ERA and 40-plus strikeouts through eight starts. Then it lists all the names. We know who they are. No other team in Major League Baseball history has had such players to start a season. Five guys, sub-3.15 ERA, and at least 40 or more strikeouts through eight starts. All the baseball, we talk about Pete Rose, and we go back to Ty Cobb, and we talk about Shoeless Joe, all the baseball, no other team has had that to start a season. What are they doing in that lab?
You know, I was thinking about it yesterday because we keep saying, you know, with Skeens in town, it was, well, the Pirates have an ace, you need an ace to win, the Mets don't have one, and the Mets don't have an ace. They have five, BT! They have every guy they throw out there given five, six scoreless innings. It is remarkable. I think Jeremy Hefner deserves a ton of credit. I think clearly there is something going on that the Mets are able to identify somebody and bring them in here and maximize their abilities.
But like, what is it?
You do the math. I mean, I think it's analytics. I think it's letting them throw their better pitches more. I think it's Jeremy Hefner being able to relate the analytics to a human in the pitching department. I mean, obviously, and it's also the way that they deploy them. They're not pushing the issue. Mendy knowing when to get them out. Okay, 5 2/3 from Senga last night. Reed Garrett, he drives him up a wall, walking two guys in a row, driving around, whatever. But the starting pitching, dude, their formula, 5-6 innings, get out. They don't allow any runs. All these guys.
He put on glasses for you at least, Reed, right?
David, trying to find
a strike zone.
He drives
bit.
Me nuts.
Didn't work.
He has, like, he's fine. He's okay, whatever. But the starters, I think there is a formula here that the Mets are using, and it is clearly working. The only question that I would have is it sustainable to have almost all your pitchers go 5, maybe 6 on a good night, and keep relying on the bullpen when we're only in mid-May and you're going to try to survive through deep October?
You know what? If you would have asked me this years ago, no. If you ask me this now, yeah. I mean, we could parachute into pretty much every major league city right now and listen to their sports radio station. Not as good as the Fan, of course, as we know.
Right.
And I guarantee that they would be like asking the same questions like, man, you know, what teams do have starters that go I don't mean one guy, you know, like a Scooble or a Skeens or, you know, a Max Fried who only went five last night. But most teams deal with this as well. It's mixing and it's matching. It's Band-Aids. It's having a lot of guys in the minors and a lot of guys in reserves, swing guys that could start, that can obviously bounce into lower leverage, you know, relief situations. That's the game of baseball.
Here's why I do think it's sustainable. Because what the Mets rotation is right now is not going to be this moving forward, meaning Sean Manaea is going to come back at some point. Frankie Montas might come back at some point. Now, what's that going to do? It's going to insert those guys into the starting rotation and have some of the guys who are in the rotation now become longer men in the bullpen or go down to the minors.
Yep.
And I'm thinking about postseason. So in the postseason, you need one or two. I mean, maybe you want to say three now, especially if you only having starters go five innings, but you need those horses in the bullpen. Who's to say that just because Reed Garrett might not be it or the Mets bullpen might be taxed by October, who's to say that one of these guys, I don't know, Tyler McGill, Griffin Canning, we saw Peterson do it a little bit last year. Maybe it's Montas himself. I don't know. Maybe it's Tidwell from the minors. Like, the Mets have a lot of depth, to your buddy's point, in that rotation that when they get healthy, not only should Manaea perform well, it's going to take one of those other guys and have him be a depth piece that could be utilized as the bullpen arm come postseason.
Good offense, deep, deep array of arms for, say, innings 6, 7, 8.
Right.
And no aces, in theory. I'm not even talking about the Mets.
Right.
Or a great offense, a lackluster offense, a true ace like you and I grew up with, and decent bullpen. Like, what's more desirable at this point? I think it's flipped.
Are we talking about for the postseason or just in general?
Postseason.
Yeah, I think that's the only question, postseason. And it's inherent in me to say ace. I do not believe that any longer. I think the way the Mets are doing it is the right way, certainly for the regular season. And in the postseason, as long as they can turn one of these plethora of starters who have been effective into a weapon out of the bullpen, they're all not going to start. I mean, let's say best case scenario. Now, you know, these things usually work themselves out. Somebody gets hurt. Somebody's got to go on the shelf. But let's just say the Mets stay healthy or are healthy for the postseason. Manaea, Holmes, Senga, Peterson, McGill, Canning, Montas. It is mathematically impossible to have all those guys in the rotation in the playoffs. However, it is not impossible to have them be effective weapons out of the bullpen.
I know. I think it's, you know, I think the most appealing part of this here, and I said this to you a couple of times, the lab is real. Now, does it get you a championship? I don't know. We'll see. There's a lot of baseball to go. But what should excite Met fans the most is that, you know, in a year or two, as Stearns has multiple drafts to get arms and identify arms that they believe will fit the lab, but like elite stuff, not getting guys off, you know, other teams who are a little bit questionable that don't throw 98, 99. Like, they have an array of arms that are coming. And then when you take those guys, those young players, and now put them in whatever they're doing philosophically and how they're applying their thoughts to, you know, to the young players from an analytical point of view, well, now you might have that ace.
And then
you might have that Skeens.
Right, and that coupled with spending their resources on known commodities as position players or keeping their guys that they developed. The one thing that Milwaukee couldn't do with David Stearns are the smaller markets that can't do that, like Pittsburgh.
Yep.
They could develop the guys, they could draft them, identify them, develop them. They can't keep them. That's where the Mets become a dangerous powerhouse.
How about that random text, too? I'm not bothering them.
It wasn't me.
You know, I mean, just minding my own business, doing a job, doing a show. Receipt pops up.
Oh.
And I said, I don't recall the conversation.
Yeah.
And then I talk about it for 15 minutes on the air.
I'm not surprised at that. That's great.
Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's get back into the conversation around the Subway Series. Here's why Yankee fans are going to boo Juan Soto. There's so many things. It's not about his contract, right? $760 million is enough for anyone to be a Yankee. John Sterling told me that when he was on air with me. He said, well, clearly he didn't want to be a Yankee. I didn't want to offer him $760 million, but Hal Steinbrenner did. because how Steinbrenner heard the fans and understood how much fans wanted this guy, how much this guy helped Aaron Judge and the team get to the World Series, how clutch this guy is. So it's not about the money, and it's not about fans that were in Juan Soto. Like, what are we talking about with that? Stop using that as an example. If you were in his shoes, you'd do the same thing. We'll never be in his shoes. We'll never get the opportunity to choose between $765 million and $760 million. But it wasn't just the money. And if you do want to lay out the money, the Mets contract was masterful. It was much more. The actual value of $1 million suite every year for 15 years, security detail, a shopping spree for your mom whenever she would like, a clothing allowance. That's a lot of money. On top of the premium seats in the Clover Field Club that you're getting, the Yankees weren't doing that. The Yankees are about their business. And the Yankees have had so many legends come through. Juan Soto is not bigger or better than the legends of the past or the legend that they have on this team now. Could you imagine the Yankees right now with Juan Soto in right field? We wouldn't have seen so much of Trent Grisham. We wouldn't have seen so much of just what we have right now with Aaron Judge being Aaron Judge. He'd have to play center field. Maybe he doesn't have the same start to the year. Trent Grisham would be glued on the bench. They wouldn't play him in left field. Maybe we wouldn't see as much of Dominguez because Cody Bellinger would be there more times than not. So everything worked out for both sides. Juan Soto was a need for the Mets. When you have the richest owner in the sport who has spent money and burnt money on guys like Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander and now it was time. Go get the highest paid free agent ever. Go make that deal to have the largest contract in the history of American sports. Good. But what it was for the Yankee fan, and I can't speak for all Yankee fans, but the ones that I talked to and myself, this guy was showered with love. He was boo-proof. No one is boo-proof. Judge. Hal, I don't know how many times I told you I was in there Derek Jeter night. Hal walked out with a check for Jeter. The fans booed him, and I think it was over the trade deadline or somebody that they didn't get or whatever. Juan Soto was boo-proof. Fans would not boo him because they wanted him to come back. He had the loudest roll call, Juan Soto, louder than Aaron Judge. So those fans showed you all that love. You came out there every game, and it was lit from start to finish. Those fans bought your jersey. Those fans backed you up. They followed you. They hyped you up. They put you on this level that made you so appealing to the team across town. And it's the way that you left. Like I said, after the World Series, where every Yankee fan was destroyed, crushed, because the Yankees brought us up to the highest of highs, thinking, hey, we're about to force a game six, and then they unraveled in the fifth inning. After that game, I think the way that he handled his press conference was in bad taste a bit. I think that he could have handled that differently. We know that you're the prize free agent on the market. You don't need to hold court in Yankee Stadium. That was one of those, if George was alive moments, George would have came right down there and shooed him away, got him along. Hey, enough already. You're holding court for all of these media members about Steve Cohen in my building, about the Mets in my building, about you being available to all 30 teams. You're not available to all 30 teams, Juan. Don't lie to us. We watched the game. You're not going back to Nationals Park. You're not going back to Petco Park. There was only one place that you were going to go if it wasn't the Yankees. And it's about the way that you did it. 888-808-1019. In our darkest, lowest moment, you were good because you were one step closer to the money. And then when you did take the money and we learned about, which some fans still think is just a $5 million difference, it's not. It's like, okay, you didn't want to be a Yankee. And we could reach for any reason from Aaron Judge and not being in his shadow to wanting to be a legend because you can much easier become a legend with the Mets than you can with the Yankees. But what you sold people on was a future that you saw. You sold people on 6 to 7 years, right, of the Yankees being good, which is basically till Judge's contract is up. And then you not knowing, right, that only halfway through your 15-year deal would the Yankees be good? The Yankees are good every year. The Yankees are the most consistent franchise over the last 30 years. So what are you talking about, bro? That let me know that you don't understand, because also in your press conference you said it's a Mets town. Just got to win. We're going to build a dynasty. What? Where? What are you talking about, bro? I did see the, you know, Once Upon a Time in Flushing or whatever it was, that 30 for 30 about the 80s. But that was way before Juan Soto was born. Juan Soto was only 26 years old. I don't think he knew what he was doing with this rivalry going from Yankees to Mets. I don't think he knew how much he was going to get hated on. He was just always after the biggest contract, and congrats to him, he got it. But the Yankee fans aren't mad about the money. We're mad about the way you acted after the World Series, the fact that you chose the Mets and tried to make it not seem about money. You made it about a family vibe, and you talked about them building a dynasty and how it's going to be a Mets town, and, oh, the Yankees are only going to be good for 6 or 7 years. And you even said that the Mets weren't the highest bidder. Stop lying, bro. Just tell the truth. You got on a podcast to say, oh, yeah, there were some other teams. It wasn't the Mets. You went out of your way to try to make the Mets seem like something that most of us, we don't see them as Yankee fans. We weren't brought up that way. We don't look at the Mets like that. We don't look at the Mets like you look at the Mets, Juan. So when you come into Yankee Stadium with that Met uniform on, which is at least negative 15 swag points, you look better in the pinstripes. Just understand all of this pent-up aggression and all of these feelings and all of these things that people have had to deal with from Met fans coming into Yankee Stadium wearing a Juan Soto Mets jersey, and that's why you really started to hear the F Juan Soto chants break out. Like, now you're going to hear them. Now you're going to see people turn. There's a thin line between love and hate. Now you're about to actually see the Yankee fan, the Bronx Zoo, these wild and crazy fans. They're not going to do anything to you. So any of you goofies talking about people getting thrown out or Juan Soto, say they're not going to throw anything at him or do anything to him. Nobody's going to rush the field. But yeah, they're going to heckle. They're going to say everything that they could think of. There's going to be some creative ones. There's going to be some not so creative ones. But that is the spirit of all of this. It's a rivalry. It's a crosstown rivalry. And you went across town thinking that you could live? You went across town thinking that we were going to let you live? Hell no, I can't wait for Friday. 888-808-1019.
Real quick, we need to address a very important issue, which I was stunned by.
By the way, there is nowhere to pull over on the hutch.
Yeah, there is.
There's on the side?
Yeah, it's a shoulder.
Barely.
You just get on his shoulder. So over the weekend, we as Met fans were greeted with shocking news. And this had nothing to do with the lineup. It had to do with a Francisco Lindor music change. As we all know, for the last year plus, he has come out to My Girl.
Yes.
And Met fans have sung along to My Girl. Even me. I'm not exactly a big singer. I'm not one to go nuts. But when I'm at Citi Field, every night that I am, I sing My Girl. And it's really, really cool to hear Met fans do such
a
thing.
That was pretty cool.
Very, very cool.
In the game that I went to this year.
All of a sudden, Francisco Lindor decides, I'm going to change it up. And he has now instituted a second song that he's mixing in with My Girl. It is Ain't No Mountain High Enough, which, of course, we all know from the hit Disney movie, Remember the Titans.
Oh, stop.
Well, isn't that where we came from?
No, but keep going.
Or Marvin Gaye.
I know. Nah, I know it came before that, but honestly, for... Yes. My generation,
of course,
that like literally took it from, oh, I've heard that song to, oh, I've heard that song. And did you want to mock me about that? Because I'll set you up for trouble if you do. Go ahead.
Do I want to mock you for what now?
Remember
stopping
the Titans
at a Stop and Shop to watch the lottery?
No, the Remember the Titans
it.
Reference.
No, I love that movie.
Okay, good. Because Francisco Lindor referenced it as well as right. One of the reasons he loves the song. So he changes it from My Girl, which he'll still use in certain at-bats, into Ain't No Mountain High Enough. And this caused quite a ruffle amongst Met fans. How could you do this? What is he thinking? Let us hear from the captain of the New York Mets. Here's Francisco Lindor on his decision to make this change, starting with, why did you make this decision?
It's the vibes. The vibes I'm in right now. I think it's a fantastic song. Hopefully the fans can vibe to it, too. A couple of days ago, I just heard the song. I was like, man, this is it. And I told you guys I'm all about vibes, and that's the vibes right now. I didn't fully change it because I had some pushback for some people here, you know. So I had to. I'm a people pleaser, so I pleased the ones that pushed back on me. I think that song, it's a banger. So I'm sure fans are going to vibe to it too, hopefully.
What do you think of this, Teague?
It's different than My Girl because I feel like everybody knows the reason behind My Girl because obviously he just had a baby girl. But Ain't No Mountain High Enough is a fantastic song, Ashford and Simpson song, then Marvin Gaye, and then who did it last? Ross, Diana Ross, I think. I think it was Diana Ross. So they all made it hits. But it's like so far long ago. I don't know.
You're concerned about the generational part of it?
Yeah.
Because my girl's from an old generation too, though.
I know, but it feels like my girl is everywhere.
See, I look at both of those songs in terms of popularity from my age as both equally as popular. Like, I've heard of Ain't No Mountain High Enough. Yeah, I've heard My Girl. Like, I think they're both on that same level of...
But there's a movie called My Girl.
Yeah, right? Macaulay Culkin.
But
yeah.
I hate to defend, you know, the nervous one about the lottery. Ain't No Mountain High Enough, and Remember the Titans is synonymous for a lot of people in our generation.
No, I agree, and that's why I said that.
I don't remember it in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
They're singing together. It's about unity, harmony. Yeah, it was a big scene.
And Lindor cited it, too, by the way. Like, I'm not making that up. Mm-hmm. He did a longer interview about this. We only cut that part. And he's like, oh, yeah, remember the Titans. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, that's a big part of it. The thing that's weird, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Just go hit.
Yeah.
Is you have something that is so cool, everybody singing along to My Girl, and now you just took it away for half the game. Why mess with that?
So he does it in between
every other at bat. Yeah. So his first at bat will be My Girl.
Also, so what's the deeper story?
And the reason, as he just heard in this clip, that he didn't just cut out My Girl altogether was that there was pushback, and as he said, I'm a people pleaser. So
pushback
he was
from who?
From probably people in the organization. That's
about
what he said.
My Girl?
That's what did you want me to play the clip again?
No, I heard it, but
he said there was pushback, and that's why, and he's a people pleaser, which is why they're still doing it half the time.
Pushback, maybe it's like personal pushback.
I don't know. I took it as from like people around the franchise who are like, dude, it's such a cool thing. Why would you take that away?
We are all fans here. Fans can be stupid. And what I've learned above anything else, fans of anything don't like change, and they didn't want to deal with the nonsensical calls. I love My Girl. That's all I do is sing My Girl. People complain about nonsense, and doing this, people would complain to the Mets. Should they get a million calls from ticket holders? You'd be shocked. How could Francisco Lindor take away My Girl? It's something I love doing.
No, but
my
remember, he's saying the pushback was before he even made the change. So it's probably people in the organization who said, hey, the My Girl thing's really cool. Why would you want to end it?
Right.
That's probably the pushback.
The pushback came when he decided to change the song.
Yeah.
I got it. But I'm asking why he decided to change the song.
He said the vibes. That was his answer. He says he's a vibe guy, and this song is, quote, a banger. That's what he said. Yeah.
Okay.
He probably wanted something new in his life. What's wrong with that?
I don't mind it by any stretch.
I think there's more to this story. There has to be.
Well, what is it?
I don't know.
Like, ain't no mountain high enough just means more to him or something? I don't know.
I don't know. His kids didn't like it.
Don't you ever wake up and just want to listen to a different song? Like, you're just in a different mood. Like, all right, I'm in the mood for rock today. I'm in the mood for this today. I'm in the mood for Broadway today. I'm in the mood for that today.
Yeah, sometimes. I'm kind of all DMB all the time, though.
All right. Well, good for you.
DMB, you bring a hacky sack too?
I think in the case of Francisco Lindor, he wanted to change the song because he's just done with it, but Met fans aren't.
Why would he be done with it?
Because he's done with it. He just doesn't want to do it anymore. Mm. But Met fans are singing it so beautifully. Like, it is a very cool vibe at the ballpark to hear everybody, whether it's a Monday night or a Saturday night or a Friday afternoon. I got that one backwards. A Friday night or a Saturday afternoon singing My Girl, and now it's gone.
But Ain't No Mountain High Enough is a sing-along song.
Do you think it will be?
It is. Of course, that's the scene in Remember the Titans. They're all singing along in the locker room.
I'm not arguing about that. Do you think City Field will have that same vibe from that song?
Yes, especially if he goes from one to the other. I think it's got the vibes, 100%.
I don't know.
It's not that. What was that wretched song back in the day? Mojo. Oh, that was just awful.
But
anybody
that
sang along to that.
It's
a morbid
Stick
song.
Stick to the subject. You don't have to take a shot at me every 5 seconds.
This will end up.
It was a morbid song. This song is uplifting and sing along.
It is. Here's a little prediction. The Dodgers eventually in the postseason will be viewed as the mountain. This will be the sing-along and the rally cry for the Mets.
Oh, so you think the slogan for the Mets now is going to be Ain't No Mountain High Enough? I think you guys are both overthinking it.
I've learned a lot about Mets baseball. They will find a way to turn this into something. By the end of the year, Ain't No Mountain High Enough will be, you know, kind of a vision for what they got to climb to get to the World Series.
I don't know if I see that. I hope you're right, though, Tommy. Back to your point. Like, I hope people are singing along because that was a cool vibe.
It's about his wife.
You think so?
Yeah.
What's his wife? Is his wife creating a mountain for him to climb?
No, his wife's just saying, sing a song that's talking to me.
Oh.
They didn't start singing My Girl to start off with. It grew and it organically came about. So I think this one will have the same type of organic, and fans are like that. They'll very,
he didn't request, was My Girl? He didn't request My Girl, right?
Yeah, he did. He did it when he had his daughter. So that was his choice. Yeah.
I thought they just played it as a, like, hey, you just had a baby girl.
That was his call.
And then he kept it.
But to the point of, like, people singing along with it, it takes a while for that to happen, but it was every at-bat he'd come out to My Girl. This is every other at-bat. I don't know. I don't think it's actually going to vibe. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to become a sing-along. I don't think it's going to be.
No mountain high enough.
Yeah.
Ain't no valley low enough.
I don't see it. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's actually going to be a sing-along, which is unfortunate. But you know what?
Well,
hit 305 and drive and runs, and I don't care.
Most people don't know the words after the chorus.
See? That's a part of it. Whatever the reason, I think unfortunately we lost a little bit of a vibe at City Field. Okay if he hits home runs.
Tommy, that was the Marvin Gaye version?
Yes, it was.
It's funny. You hear Tammy Terrell more than you hear Marvin Gaye.
You do.
Gaye. It's weird.
Which one does he come out to?
That one, probably.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
That's the most popular one.
Yeah. I was there yesterday, and that's what I thought I heard.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Met fans, calm down. Just hit 350, and we'll all be happy. Let's go to Ryan in Westchester. Hey, Ryan.
Jay, so you were talking about Dave Sims having his return to his old team, but what about Gary Cohen tonight?
What about him? He's off tonight?
Bad joke. He was calling the game nationally yesterday,
yeah,
and
he
it
called
was impartial.
He called the Roku game, yeah. So I'm confused. What's your point?
I wanted to know what your thoughts were about it, and because I mean, I had very mixed feelings.
What were your mixed feelings about Gary Cohen calling the Roku game?
So okay, very happy. I was happy for him. Happy that people out there could see why we're always talking about how great he is,
mm-hmm.
And mainly just happy I didn't have to listen to anybody else.
Right.
But it was very uncomfortable listening to him call a Cubs home run, especially Pete Crow Armstrong.
I gotcha. Yeah, but you know what? Like, I get your... So I think what he's saying is Gary is the Met announcer.
Mm-hmm.
And so while it was cool to have Gary Cohen calling a Roku game,
right,
as opposed to some random national announcer, he had to be partial. Kind of like we were talking about the whole Dave Sims thing.
I can see how that's disconcerting.
So hearing
him... It just
him,
doesn't feel right. It doesn't sit right with you.
But you know, if you're a Knicks fan, I bring this back to the Knicks, you're so used to it with Mike Breen. Think about it. Mike Breen is your guy. He's been your broadcaster for a million years. Like Gary Cohen, I think they're on that same level in terms of greatness. Well, Mike Breen calls national games all the time, and he calls national Knick games all the time. Mm-hmm. And so you have to deal with the same thing where Breen's getting excited for the opponent. Now, I admit, I didn't hear his broadcast. I was at the game on Sunday, which I love the early start time, Teague. Mm-hmm. They started the game at noon for Roku.
That's amazing.
Oh,
it's great.
If they could make that permanent, sign me up. But I would think a Cub fan would probably hate Gary Cohen calling the game. If the Knicks win the NBA title, it is a sign that the New York Mets are going to win the World Series. And while that makes Tommy very happy and it makes Sean very sad, it conflicted me for a second. Like, wait a second. Would I sign for a Knick championship if it means the Mets win the World Series? And I thought about it. And I do have a declarative answer.
And it better be, oh, hell yeah.
Tiki, you want to guess, knowing me and the way my brain works?
It's going to... That's a good one. I'm going to say yes. It's going to be...
You're going to say yes.
Absolutely. Because you need a championship, dude.
Okay,
you
fair enough.
You have one.
You're right. Thanks for rubbing it in.
I'm not rubbing it in. I'm just stating a fact.
How about you, Sean? What do you think?
You know, you're not like me, Evan. I have money in the bank with championships. You don't. You're aware of that. I'm thinking you'd be willing to give a left arm for a championship
right.
for the Mets, so why wouldn't you give a Knicks championship for a Mets championship?
I would abso-freaking-lutely give that Knicks title to get myself a World Series title.
Thanks.
Let's
now,
go Knicks. It's... going to be obnoxious dealing with certain Knicks-Mets fans,
mm-hmm.
like, I don't know, Tommy Lugau and Sal Licata, but you know what? I'll live with it.
You're just going to have to deal with the orange and blue skies everywhere. A Knick-Met title in the same year would be absolutely incredible. By the way, I would also sign for a Knick title and a Met title.
Oh, it's... Well, no. If you want to play the game right, let's play the game right. I'm telling you, the Yankees are winning the World Series, and they're not just winning the World Series. They're beating the Mets in the World Series.
That's just double. That's double.
He's being mean.
What about being mean?
You're being mean.
That's just a double slap.
Why is that? He gets his Knick title, but he has to deal with the Mets losing the World Series to the Yankees, which I know is his kryptonite.
Sign me up.
I know what I... Oh, well, yeah, you would. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, because Sean obviously would live with the Knick title for the Yankee title. Right.
Would you sign for that,
Mets.
Tommy?
I'd have to sign for that, yeah. No, I would sign for it. For a
Knick
title? Because... And I've said this before. Well, I've said this before. Some people don't like to hear it, and maybe this is why I'm negative with them. The Giants, in my mind, have paid their debt to me. They've won two championships, mm-hmm. really a couple in my lifetime, but two that I got to see, and they were these incredible runs that will never be taken away from me. When it comes to the Knicks and the Mets, I just want to see one, get off the schneid, and then we can go from there. So I can't sit there and say, well, I can't have a Knick one because I need a Met one. I want both to get one,
right.
So let's start with the Knicks, and we'll go from there. Because they're right here. They're closer.
No.
They're a step closer.
Very, very, very fair. Let me give you this one quick Knicks stat, and we'll get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. Tommy and I are live in Boston. Tiki and Sean back in New York, where apparently it's raining in New York, and the weather is terrible. In Boston, I don't know if this is an omen, it is sunny. It is warm out. It is like a summer freaking day in Boston, Massachusetts right now. But listen to this, Tiki, and I know it's not going to be a surprise, but I think hearing it will be like, whoa. In game one of this series, the Boston Celtics led for 33 minutes and 41 seconds. Mm-hmm. The Knicks led for 12:39.
Okay.
In game two, the Boston Celtics led for 45 minutes and 21 seconds.
Wow.
And the Knicks led for a minute 53.
What the hell?
In game three, the Boston Celtics led the entire game, other than when it was tied, for 47 minutes and 18 seconds. And in the last game they played, 33 minutes the Celtics led, 12 minutes the Knicks led. If you add it up, the Boston Celtics have led for 162 minutes, and the Knicks have led for 24 minutes. And yet, despite those absolutely insane numbers, the Knicks are up 3-1.
I think the same could be said with the other Eastern Conference semifinal, because the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are now eliminated by the Indiana Pacers, were the same way, it feels like. They were getting beat up twice, and they came back and won. And even yesterday, I thought it was going to be 3-2, and I just stopped watching the game. And next thing you know, the Pacers win it. So it's probably the same for the Cavaliers as well. Just the better team, but flawed in finishing. That's what the Boston Celtics have been this season, or this postseason. The better team, flawed in finishing.
There is positives and negatives you could take out of those numbers. Like, the positive is what you just said, the Knicks finished. Knicks finished better than the Celtics, and now you're taking away the Celtics' best player in Jason Tatum. So that's obviously the positive. I think the negative you would take is, despite the fact that the Knicks are up 3-1, the Celtics have essentially dominated the series.
Yeah.
Because that's what that also tells you.
Of
that
course.
They've led for, you know, I can't do percentages off the top of my head, but if they're leading for 162 of 186 minutes, they're leading like 75% of the time. Rosie, can you do math on that? He's booked out his calculator. Because, like, I'm not even kidding. Like, they've led for... Look at 162 minutes compared to 24 minutes. You can leave the seconds out because the seconds get very, very confusing.
It's like 90%, close to 90%.
Is it 90?
Yes.
Oh, my, it's even higher than I thought. That is insanity. And again, you can take the positive out of it as a Knick fan because at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is you led when the game ended.
Right.
And
but
you did that three times.
But I think that's what we knew was probably the only advantage of the Knicks coming in. I guess maybe some of the depth and scoring you could give the advantage to the Knicks, but the biggest advantage that the Knicks had in the series was that they had the best closer on either one of these teams. And so you said it after game one, actually, I think. Just keep it close, right? Just it's not throughout the game, but when it gets down into the fourth quarter and the minutes that matter, make it close. And if it's close, then the Knicks have a chance to win it. And that's what they've done for most of this series.
Evan and Tiki on the Road is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Andrew is calling from Eastchester. Good afternoon today, Andrew.
Andrew, what's happening?
Hello, Andrew.
Andrew going once?
Right.
Oh, there he
is.
You
know, Evan.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, sorry. When you're elected president or when you win an Oscar, you know, even long after you're gone, when they speak of you as former president or former Oscar winner. So the fact that you recently resigned as the president of the Coalition of Vindicators doesn't t- to me, doesn't mean much, which is why I question your intentions in terms of going up there. I think this is part of a nefarious plot on your end to reverse jinx the Knicks and try to suck all of the mojo and the positive vibes from this team, which is why we need the light of positive Tommy Skywalker, to successfully defeat Darth Roberts and get the Knicks to where we need to be.
Oh, I like that, Andrew.
It is all a fair point, Andrew. We appreciate your telephone call. Let me clarify a couple of things. I have never resigned as the leader of the coalition.
And by the way, Evan, it didn't work last year in Philadelphia.
Well, that's what I was going to get to. Like, the reason we're here, if anyone is wondering, like, why did you go to Boston, is because I think it's a big deal. I think it's a game five of the Eastern Conference semifinals. Luckily, it's within driving distance. And I think it'd be fun to take Tommy to this game. We did it last year in Philadelphia. I thought it was fun for the show. We were all there last year, and it was great. And anytime we could take the show on the road to a big game and a big show, I think it's worth it. Big show Bob, big game Bob, whatever you want to say. So I put my fandom aside, especially in a town that we work in that has multiple teams.
Well, you're wearing Nets socks right now, so you can put your fandom aside.
But my point is, like, we have two baseball teams, okay? When the Yankees play a big game, we will be at Yankee Stadium for the World Series. Mm-hmm. If the Giants play a big game, obviously you guys are Giant fans, I am not. By the way, speaking of doing trips, the Jets come to Foxborough in November. We are doing the show from Boston that night. I've already decided. We're coming to Boston. We're then all going to go to Jets Patriots. That's right.
That's Thursday night?
That's Thursday night football. Love it's it. In November. And Tiki Barber is sitting in the upper deck with me. If you don't want to come, Tommy, fine. Honestly, I really only care about Tiki in this regard.
Right.
Me and Tiki watching Jets Patriots on a Thursday night. And I say that because it's going to be a big game.
What if I called up Bob Kraft and said, "Hey Bob, can we get into the your suite?" And he said, "Sure. Come on. Would you sit with me, Evan?"
Oh boy, that's a tough one. I'll have to consider that come November. But it's a big game. Want to be there. Want to be in the mix, as Tommy would like to say. There is nothing nefarious. We were in Philly last year. It worked out well for Knicks fans. In fact, some say Evan and Tiki closed out the Philadelphia 76ers.
We did.
Because Knicks fans were panicking with the way they collapsed in Game 5. We calmed everyone down.
Right.
We led the charge. We told everyone where to sit. So this is not new for us.
Right.
Some people may not realize that, so let me let them know. We did this a year ago. It worked. We're back, and we're doing it again.
And by the way, just like you were previously suggesting, and if you missed it, rewind on the Odyssey app about an hour ago, Evan was saying the Knicks could kill the Celtics because they could trade off everybody. Who knows what their season's going to be like next year without Jason Tatum? Didn't we kind of do that to the 76ers?
Yes.
We ended the season, and then the next year they were crap. And Bede was hurt. Nobody else really played at a high level, and they ended up in the lottery. Now, they benefited by being in the lottery, but it is what it is. We have a history of this, man.
You have a history, or we have a history, of not just going on the road to watch the Knicks advance, but breaking the spirit of a city we hate. And so I'm not here for anything nefarious other than to have a good old time and bring you, the audience, an in-depth feel for what it's like to be in the building, and also to lead the charge. There's a lot of people
Celtics
making the trip. What was that?
Let's go Celtics.
Can I just push back on one? I have to push back on just one little tiny thing.
What's that?
So we've been very upfront about this. We've been talking about this trip for over a week now. So, Evan, can you please remind the audience your prediction before the series started?
I thought the Celtics would win this series in 5.
Okay. And what is tonight?
Game 6.
No. What is tonight?
5. Tonight's game 5. Okay. Oh, my bad.
So
got me confused for
a second. My brain goes to the other caller's point, is that Evan planned this trip for game 5 because he thought this would be, all right, I got a great idea. We'll drive Loogie up 4 hours. We'll sit here. The Knicks will lose by 40. They'll get eliminated. We'll drive back. We'll videotape him.
Yeah.
And he could share my sports misery. That did not happen. To your credit now, you are here for the big sports moment, and that's what we're doing. We're invading. We're going to get a W. We're going to bring it home.
I think that's absolutely fair, Tommy.
Is that a fair way to frame it so everybody wins in that way?
I think when we talked about making this trip, my vision was, yes, the Celtics being up 3-1. But I'm a man of my word.
Absolutely.
Look, there were a lot of things that led to this trip being a little bit more difficult. But what did I say to you, Tommy? I said, we got to make it happen. We made a promise to the audience.
We did.
We're going to make it happen. So I think you ended up complimenting me through all of that.
No, 100%. That was absolutely a compliment.
Thank you. Stayed true to your word, even though the intent changed.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.